Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 25 November, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're in the two greatest chapters in the word of God that define exactly what grace giving is. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is by Tom Gilbreth. Deliver me from deception. Take heed that no one deceives you. Matthew 24, verse 4. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching about the signs of his coming and of the end of the age. Deception is nothing new. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the father of lies, Satan himself. But the Bible says it will grow substantially worse in the last days. Today it permeates the world as never before. The tools of deception have become 1,000 times more powerful and prolific. Psalm 120, verse 2. I don't know if you have this one on your refrigerator. This is one that you all should have there. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The battle against deception increasingly defines our lives. People fear even answering the phone if they don't see a number that they recognize. They are afraid to help a car in distress on the side of the road because it might be robbers just using a ruse. Wariness is up because deception is up. You get an email, seemingly from your bank. It has their logo. It uses their slogans. And the email warns that something unusual, maybe even criminal, is going on with one of your accounts. you start to click on a link. And then you realize that it might not be the bank at all. It might be someone trying to create the very problem they seem to be warning you about. A call comes in, apparently from a grandchild. She's in trouble and urgently needs cash. Even if the voice on the other end sounds like your grandchild, it might be a scam. Someone calls and congratulates you on winning a dream vacation. He just needs to get some information to verify your identity. He also needs your social security number so he can properly report to the IRS. And after he gets that little pot of gold from you, he lets you know that you will have to pay a fee to finalize the transaction. After giving him the data and the money he wants, you find out it was all a scam. Even today's photos and videos can be liars. Fake news permeates the social media. Once venerable newspapers and broadcasts make editorial decisions pushing a certain political agenda, even at the expense of truth. Headlines can be especially misleading, but most people read no further. People lie for power. People lie for money. People lie to manipulate, and people lie just to be lying. Jeremiah 9 verse 3 says, "And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord." Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin." How do lies destroy? They remove the keystone from the arch. They blast foundations into powder. Progress and harmony depend on communication, and deceit shreds communication. Deception starts wars, starves the hungry, and removes the pillars of sanity from the structure of civilization. Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed. Be watchful. Look out. Keep your eyes peeled. But Jesus did not say to be paranoid. Scripture is explicit that we are to fear not. Instead of fearing deception, God wants you to know the truth. God wants you to know the truth. Jesus prayed for you and for me in John 17:17. "Sanctify them by your aletheia," absolute truth. Your word is aletheia, absolute truth. You need to know the truth. And that means you find a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assemble to learn and believe the absolute truth God is absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the aletheia, the absolute truth. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ is absolute truth. God is absolute truth. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is absolute truth. And the plan of God for your life is to get a maximum amount of absolute truth in your heart. Then you think truth and you live your life by the truth. So in times like these, remember Psalm 120, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. All right, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And we are in 2 Corinthians 8. I'm in 2 Corinthians 9 in my studies, but we got some great, it just keeps getting better coming up. But right now, let's start the corrected translation of 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 through 18, which says, Now thanks be to God, or you could translate it, now grace belongs to God. The one who gives the same earnestness, the same intensity of impersonal love on behalf of you, Corinthians, in the heart of Pastor Teacher Titus. Verse 17. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but on the other hand, being very earnest from his own free will, he has moved out face to face with y'all. Verse 18, And we have sent along with him his brother, Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. Now this is a period of a section dealing with administration of grace giving. God has set up a system for excellent administration of grace giving. This is an amazing administrative team that's assembled here. First of all, we have the Apostle Paul's personal troubleshooter, Titus. And secondly, we have his brother, Luke, whose fame and praise and the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. And third, we have coming up an unknown believer. Wherever Luke has gone, he is recognized and honored as a faithful and gracious winner believer. Luke has received the highest praise and genuine honor and recognition as a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. This team acted as trustees of this very large sum of money to ensure complete propriety in the handling of it. Now that brought us to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 19, and we have exegeted part of verse 19. And that part we have exegeted sounds like this. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of this administrative team, Titus' administrative team, with this collection of grace. It simply says, with this grace. The preposition soon, with charis, grace. That's one of the greatest definition of what grace giving is all about. With this grace. It's grace. It's not legalism. It's not works. It's grace, grace, grace. It starts in the soul. First, you give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ with a great mental attitude, personal love for God, occupation with Jesus Christ. That great virtue love motivates you to offer grace giving, and it's generous grace giving. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion with this grace, what it literally says, with this grace, or collection of free will grace giving. Now in this verse so far, there were two words that were very important. The first was kairotoneo. Kairotoneo, that's C-H-E-I-R-O-T-O-N-E, long O. Now, this word right there. That's the Greek word for hand. That's significant in this verb, kairotoneo. It's only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, our verse, 2 Corinthians 8:19, and in Acts 14:23. And by the way, Bobby came up and wanted to know, are you going to teach Acts? Well, okay. Before I reach 125, we're going to teach Acts. Well, that's a good one. Kairotoneo means to choose or to appoint. But it means to elect by raising of hands. That's the word care. This is the election or selection of a person for a very special task. And the churches chose Luke to be a part of this administrative team to take this grace offering from the believers in Corinth to Jerusalem. And then we had the prepositional phrase hupa plus the genitive plural of ekklesia, by the churches. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion with this grace. With this grace. And that we have next, the key word is soon ekdemos. Soon ekdemos. Looks like that in the Greek. S-U-N-E-K-D, long E-M-O-S. Soon ekdemos. And soon ekdemos means a traveling companion. Luke was a part of this administrative team headed up by Titus. Luke was a traveling companion with the genitive plural of ego, with us. And with us is Titus and his team. And then we have, I think this is the greatest definition of grace giving. The preposition soon, S-U-N, plus charis, the dative of charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. With this grace. So, and not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of the administration team headed up by Titus, with this grace. With this grace. Literally was with this grace. And that is free will grace giving, this collection of grace giving. And then we go on and it says, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. We have the dative singular, the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the articular present passive participle of diakoneo, plus the prepositional phrase hupa, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative singular of doxa, plus the genitive singular of kurios with the definite article, and the genitive singular of the intensive pronoun autos. So we start out the demonstrative pronoun houtos. There's the letter H, H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos means this grace, this free will grace-giving offering, this grace. And then the verb diakoneo. D-I-A-K-O-N-E, long O, diakoneo. Now, you're familiar, you've been in this church for any time, that there are in a local church, you have a pastor teacher, and then you have deacons, and deacons have the gifts of administration. They are administrators. And every local church will have many deacons, but one pastor teacher, many deacons. The word for deacon is diakonia, and it's transliterated deacon. But we've learned what that means. It's a very, very wonderful gift. It literally means to be a waiter. And Deb and I have of all of the hundreds or thousands of places to eat in Las Vegas, Deb and I nailed it down to about three. But they are three great, great ones because they have great waiters. Great help that worked there. In fact, it makes the whole evening very special. Every time we go out, it makes the evening very, very special. Every single person in the restaurant, from the people that you first meet when you get there, when you're walking by the kitchen where they're cooking, and there's the people making the food, and why, there's Tarzan in what's one restaurant, Roberto, another, and as soon as we come in, there, how many times when you're walking in, the guy who's cooking the food is waving, hi, hi. And we go on in, and the people that help us at the table and bring the water and the bread and all the different things, they always come and they stay and talk and want to know how is everything going and what's going on. And the whole evening, all Deb and I do is we're just smiling and laughing and enjoying ourselves and having the most wonderful, wonderful time. And because the staff, the entire staff is so thoughtful. And by the way, the gospel booklet has been given to almost all of them. And most of them are Christians. And they always want to know, how is the church going and how this? And that is so, so much fun. It just makes it a very, very unique and special time when we go out. Well, that's what we have here in diakoneo. So, Let's get a couple of points. One, literally, it means to be a waiter in a restaurant, a waiter at a table. That's literally what it means. And the restaurants we go to, they are great waiters. Now, I've been in restaurants that were terrible waiters, and we don't go back. That's it. Kaput, you're done. But the ones we go to, they are great waiters. Two, figuratively, diakoneo means to serve. To serve, to take care of. Three, diakoneo is the Greek verb for administration. The Greek verb for administration. Four, it means to administer. To administer. Five, this is an articular participle, and the articular participle, as you know this, you hear me say it, substantival. That means it functions as a noun, and it's correctly translated, which is being administered. Which is being administered. And then we have the preposition hupa. H-U-P-O, hoopa, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, E-G long O, hoopa is by, ego, us, by us. And then we have the preposition pros, plus the accusative, pros plus the accusative of doxa. P-R-O-S and then D-O-K-S-A. Pros is for, doxa is glory. For the glory. For the glory of who? Autu tu curiu. That's the intensive pronoun. It's an intensive pronoun, and it as an intensive pronoun. This is the genitive case, but it's actually autos when the nominative. And intensive pronoun, himself. And this is the definite article and the genitive of kurios. And that's the Lord. With the intensive pronoun, the Lord himself. In other words, this is all being done for the glory of the Lord himself. This administration of grace, taking this grace giving and grace gift from Corinth to Jerusalem, is for the glory of the Lord himself. Not for individuals, anybody else, it's for the glory of the Lord himself. This is so powerful. Corrected translation. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of this administrative team, with this grace. That's literally what it says. Soon charis. With this grace. This free will grace giving. This grace offering which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself. But you know, that ought to be the reason you do everything in your life. This ought to be the motivation for everything you do in your life, for the glory of the Lord Himself. Why are you here? You place your faith in Jesus Christ. After salvation, what? Why are you here after salvation? To glorify the Lord. That's why we're here. To glorify the Lord. In all that we do, to glorify the Lord. And this is a very critical part, and this is the so fantastic to see. Titus, Luke, his brother, and the third member, which don't even know his name, very special. And they're administering this grace given by the believers in Corinth for the glory of the Lord Himself. I love it. That ought to be your motivation in everything you do in this life. And then it says in the King James, and to show our ready mind. Well, today, it's just rare if you can even find the mind, you know. This is the conjunction chi plus the accusative singular prothumia plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. And the conjunction chi is the connective chi, and you translate that and. And then prothumia. Prothumia, P-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Prothumia, and prothumia means willingness. It means readiness. And with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, it's our willingness, our readiness. Okay, so, corrected translation. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of this administrative team. With this grace, with this free will grace giving, this grace giving which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself and to show our readiness and willingness. Fantastic mental attitude. Okay. One. Money given to the Lord's work by the believer priest must be properly administered. And you know, this grace giving is one of the spiritual sacrifices that you offer from your royal priesthood. Money given to the Lord's work by the believer priest. You are all royal priests. You're to offer spiritual sacrifices. One of those spiritual sacrifices is grace giving. Money given to the Lord's work by the believer priest must be properly administered. Two, reliable people must be appointed by the church to collect and account for the use of funds. Reliable people must be appointed by the church to collect and account for the use of the funds. Now, we have deacons that are in charge of that. I am not. I don't have anything to do with the money. The deacons are in charge of that. And they have done a fantastic job since I've been here. It's been, they're honorable, they're virtuous, and they take their responsibility very importantly, and they have done a fantastic job. Three, money must be handled by more than one person. Money must be handled by more than one person to avoid any appearance of dishonesty or misappropriation of funds. Money must be handled by more than one person to avoid any appearance of dishonesty or misappropriation of funds. Therefore, point four, those who administer funds must be spiritually mature believers. They must be spiritually mature believers, not baby believers, not adolescent believers, but spiritually mature believers. Five, they must be believers with virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And then they will administer the funds for the glory of the Lord Himself. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you administer grace funds for the glory of the Lord Himself. Six, they must be well motivated and ready and willing, a great mental attitude. Seven, the administrator must be motivated by the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart, aletheia in his heart. The administrator must be motivated by the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart. Eight, his success as an administrator does not depend on human ability. It does depend on maximum grace orientation and maximum doctrinal orientation and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not depend on his human ability, but on maximum grace orientation and doctrinal orientation and his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So verses 17 to 19 then sounds like this. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but on the other hand, being very earnest, from his own free will, he has moved out face to face with you, Corinthians. And we have sent along with him his brother Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel is spread throughout all the churches. Verse 19, and not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches to be our traveling companion, a part of this administrative team. With this grace, with this free will grace giving, this grace offering, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord Himself and to show our readiness and willingness of mind. Now in 2 Corinthians 8 verses 20 to 24, we have the amplification of administration and grace giving. This will conclude chapter 8 and then chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20. Something has to be avoided. Avoiding this, King James says, that no man should blame us. This is the present middle participle of stello plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos once again, plus the negative me with the indefinite pronoun tis, plus the aorist middle subjunctive of momaomai, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego. All right, stello. It's stello, not cello. Cello, that's what they do in Texas when they get the oil out of the ground. They cello. But this is stello. It's a whole different thing. S-T-E-L-L long O. Stello. Now, stello is found in the New Testament scriptures two times. In our verse, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20, and in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul, and both times it's used in the middle voice. Okay, so one, in the middle voice, stello means to keep away, to stand aloof from someone or something. To keep away, to stand aloof from someone or something. Point two, it means to avoid. To try to avoid. It means to take precaution that something bad doesn't happen. That's stello. Take precaution that something bad doesn't happen. Now, the present tense of stello is a linear action sort, and you know we graph it that way. That's LAS, Las Vegas, no, linear action sort. I don't want you people falling asleep on me out there. Constantly taking precaution that, linear action start, present tense, constantly taking precaution that, and then the middle voice is deponent, that means middle in form, but active in meaning. Titus and his administrative team were constantly taking precaution that no one would momaomai them. You don't want that to happen. The participle of circumstantial attendant circumstance has the same force as the main verb. Main verb is diakonao in verse 19, to administer. And then we have the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos once again, getting to be our old friend here. Houtos. And houtos means this or that, constantly avoiding this. Constantly taking precaution that is how this is translated. Constantly avoiding this, constantly taking precaution that. And then we have made tis. M long E-T-I-S, made tis. Made tis is no one. Constantly avoiding this, constantly taking precaution that no one, and now, that no one momaomizes. You don't want to be momaomized by anyone. M long O M A O M A I. Mo Ma O Mai. Now, Mo Ma O Mai is found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Our verse, 2 Corinthians 8:20, and also 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Obviously, both times used by the Apostle Paul. So, one. Momaomai means to find fault with. To find fault with. To blame someone. to discredit someone. So to find fault with, to blame someone, to discredit someone. Two, the subject of the verb is no one. Three, the direct object of the verb is the accusative plural personal pronoun ego, us. That no one should blame us, Titus and his administrative team. That no one should find fault with us in this administration of this grace. So, corrected translation, constantly taking precaution. Constantly taking precaution that no one should find fault with us. And then we have in the King James, in this abundance which is administered by us. This is the preposition and plus the dative singular of the articular present passive participle diakoneo, plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the dative singular of adrotes with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase hupa, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. All right, well, we start out with a preposition in. And in means in. There you go. The object of the preposition is the articular present passive participle of diakoneo. The articular participle, once again, is substantival. It functions as a noun. Correctly translated, in the administration. It's the object of a preposition is always a noun, not a verb. And so here you have a substantival use. It functions as the object of the preposition. So it's a now, in the administration, and then hadrotes. I know you all knew that the object of a preposition has to be a noun, not a verb. And you all were got A's in English. That's very good. Congratulations on all of you. H-A-D-R-O-T, long E-S, hadrotes. Now, wouldn't you know it? This is, of course, who are we? Who's the author, human author? He's a genius. The Apostle Paul. And how many times have you heard me say, this is a hapax legomenon? This is a hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this noun is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So, one, hadrotes means abundance or a very large amount. Hadrotes means abundance or a very large amount. Two, this grace-giving offering by the believers in Corinth is a very large amount of money. A very large amount of money. Three, it is a generous grace gift. Generous grace gift. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity and have the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart, you will be a very generous person in many, many, many different ways. That is a part of the spiritual life. You become a very generous individual, generous person. This is a generous grace gift. Four, with the demonstrative pronoun houtos, It's this generous grace gift, this large amount of money. And then the preposition hupa plus the gender plural, the personal pronoun ego, again, literally by us. But here it means, hupa means also under our authority. Under our authority, under our responsibility. So the corrected translation, constantly taking precaution that no one should find fault with us in the administration of this generous grace gift, this large amount of money, by us under our authority. Constantly taking precaution that no one should find fault with us in the administration of this generous grace gift, by us under our authority. One. Money given by believers in congregations and local churches must be handled with virtue, integrity, and honor in administration. Money given by individuals, royal priests, members of the congregation, must be handled with virtue, integrity, and honor in administration. Two, this administration of money in the local church demands virtue and honor in its collection, in its accounting, and in its handling. This administration of money, grace giving in the local church, demands virtue and honor in its collection, in its accounting, and in its handling. Three, these administrators must have spiritual nobility. The Greek word is kalos, honorable, noble. So these administrators must have spiritual nobility, virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. Four, that grace giving by the royal priesthood, that is a spiritual sacrifice. That is sacred money. The moment it is given, that is a spiritual sacrifice, that is sacred money. It must be handled exactly that way. Five, it is virtue, love, grace giving. It's the spiritual sacrifice from your royal priesthood. And it must be handled for the glory of the Lord. Six, it is given on the capacity of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't an amount. It isn't an amount. It's what's going on in here. It's given on the capacity of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the passage of the widow. All she had in her, all the money she had was 2 pennies. 2 pennies. And in grace, because she loved Jesus Christ with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She was a widow. She loved the Lord because she knew the Lord would provide for her, and He had provided for her in everything. She walked by faith in who and what Jesus Christ is. And she gave 2 pennies. Now there were Judaizers at the back, and they were dropping in coin. Ding, 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 ding. Big, big bucks. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this widow, in that 2 pennies she gave far more than all these Judaizers and putting all the big money. It isn't a matter of how much. It's what's going on in here. They didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ at all with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a lot of Christians that are just legalists. They have no spiritual life. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And then they want to, what do they want? They want to tithe. 10% before taxes or after taxes or something. And their giving doesn't mean a damn thing. Doesn't mean anything. That widow, all she put in was 2 pennies. But that's everything she had. Because she loved Jesus Christ. And it was a spiritual sacrifice from her as a royal priest for the Lord. It isn't the amount. It's what's going on in here. Six, it is giving on the capacity of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven, whether it's very little or very much, it is free will, grace giving to the Lord. Whether it's very little or very much, it is free will, grace giving to the Lord. So, verse 20, constantly taking precaution that no one should find fault with us in the administration of this generous grace gift under our authority, by us or under our authority. And that brings us to verse 21, and we will start there, verse 21, next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.